Hi, I'm Sharad Kutin, and welcome to Let's Talk, the show that brings you the most important conversations in art, culture, and ideas. And today we're going to be talking about artists and a particular book that's just come out. It's newly published. It's called Living Art, The Inspired Life of 14 Malaysian Artists and Their Practice. And Emilia Ong, the author of the book, is here with me, as well as one of the subjects of the book, one of the 14 inspired lives, Noor Mahnoon Mohamad, who I know have known for many years as Anum. Thank you so much for joining me today. So let's get straight to it, Emilia. Why this book? Why did you think it was necessary to put a book like this together? And how does it relate to your own practice as an artist?
Well, I think my idea for the book was to have a sort of equivalent to a documentary about art practice. So it's in between, I would say, your typical interview in the magazine. It's got more depth than the typical interview, and at the same time, it's got an art historical lens to help the reader to understand the work better. So it's not a very serious academic work. At the same time, it's very accessible, and it's also it's got enough to interest the art historian.
Okay, and we'll come back to the question of art history in a moment, because I think a lot of us don't quite understand the meaning of art history or its value in terms of appreciating art and appreciating the lives of artists. Anum, tell us, why did you decide to say yes to this invitation from Emilia?
Well, I've known Emilia for quite a long time. We were together in the same faculty or department at Lim Kok Wing Institute when I was at Taman Megah. That was 2001, 2002. Mm-hmm. I was there for like
part of the 21st century already, but no, it's still a long time ago. And so, was it solely friendship that was the basis of your decision to say yes to her?
Yes.
Okay.
Because usually my studio is a private space. I usually don't let people go into my studio except for a few friends, and that's rarely. But when Emilia asked, sure, yeah. If there has been occasions where they need to interview me, I'll take them to an Ezat studio. I'll do it at Rimbun Dahan or a cafe or something.
Right, and that's very interesting. Again, you know, the question of the private lives of the artists at work. I think some claim that you make in the book about demystifying practice,
yes,
and
yes,
I think that's very interesting. But and I guess one little confession that I have to make first is that I did contribute to the production of this book, because
thank you.
Rebecca Books, with the publisher, you know, puts out these calls for supporting a publication. And I thought, well, this is a great idea, and so I did. And one of the books, the copies of the book, went to two young ladies, who are friends, children of a friend of mine. And I thought this would be a great book for them because they also were getting interested in art. Let's come back to the question of art history. And in fact, the foreword is written by Dolores Wharton, and she'd done a book in 1971. And so this is a book I've never seen, so I was fascinated by that. Tell us more about Dolores Wharton, why and how she plays a part in this book. Did she provide the template for it, or was there something else going on between you and the book that she wrote?
I think when I was doing my master's, I was introduced to her book by Ritsa Piarasa, who was an art historian at the time in UM. And I thought that it was such a useful book because it sort of took me back in time to a period where I could experience that period through the artist's words. Yeah. And so I thought that was a very important text, and there should be more interviews like this that help people to understand their work through their own words. Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. The artist in context, and Dolores Wharton, I understand, was in the region from 1958, 1964, something like that. The book, like I said, came out in 1971. Anum, as an artist, do you see yourself and your practice as happening within a particular kind of period of time? I mean, are you self-conscious about being an artist of the late 20th century going into the 21st century? And I understand some of the questions that you ask, you know, your milieu, your first impressions, the things that shaped your practice. Is there a kind of focus a reflection on that, call it dementia?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
So you're just living in time, as it were,
yes,
is it?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, and then when somebody come and interview me, interview us or me, pose all these questions, that's when we realize, oh, okay. I mean, that's how they see us as, basically.
And so when you were asked the question about what were the early influences in your life,
yeah,
with, I guess with regard to mm-hmm. your practice, what was your answer?
I think I told about my trip to Italy and I was seeing this.
And also your Kelantan.
Oh yeah, my Kelantan background and yeah, growing up. My dad was always doing watercolors on weekends. He painted also. He was also interested. He was a teacher.
Right.
And so we all did watercolors at home. And I remember when I was like in standard one and the first art class, I was doing portraits. And I was looking at the other kids, really horrible drawing. And I didn't realize that I was talented then. But it's more because you were always doing it on weekends, you know. It's like a natural thing.
Right, and this is also this other interesting issue with regard to artists. And I've, you know, been writing about art for several decades myself, and sometimes talking to an artist is
yeah,
not the best way to understand their art. They're not necessarily the best. They're not necessarily the most articulate when it comes to saying what they do. And sometimes mm-hmm. it seems like the critic is better off not talking to the artist and just looking at the work. I mean, where do you fall, Amelia, in terms of that?
Right.
Does the work speak for the artist, or is there value in actually
right,
speaking directly
right, right.
to the artist?
I think that's a very good question. I feel that when I'm doing the interview, I try to take a back seat and I try to let the artist talk as much as possible. And then I feel that I need to give the artist a lot of time because they need to, you know, go back, go forward, go front, go back in order to really articulate their sort of world views. And that's what I try to get from the artist. And I feel that that's the best way for me as a researcher or art writer. If I just look at the work, I miss out a lot on what's going on behind the work. So, well,
but that's kind of extra textual. It's something around the work and not just the work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these stories that artists tell. I know, you know, having said that about artists, some artists not being the most articulate, there are all these artists who are super articulate, especially about theory, and I want to come back to the issue of how artists learn a particular vocabulary in the next segment. So we're going to take a short break. We're going to be back. We're going to be talking to the author of this book, Living Art, as well as one of the contributors to this book. And stay tuned to Let's Talk.